This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Time now to meet At The Stage Door, your weekly recap on all things theatre here in Taranaki. Thanks to the wonderful team at BC Media. Let's meet now at the stage door. Good morning to you and welcome to the stage door for another Monday morning. Hope you've had a great weekend. Gosh, hasn't there been a lot happening at the moment and a lot about to happen too? Of course, the other weekend, New Plymouth Operatic had the auditions for the 100 and word on the ground is they had loads of people go along on audition and heaps of kids, which is just awesome to see that next generation coming through. How great's that? And of course, Harbour Repertory Society, they've just started rehearsals now for Sister Act, which is exciting. That's going to go on stage in a couple of months' time and featuring a lot of people from right around the Rohe, which is wonderful to see. Lots of people from New Plymouth in the cast travelling down to Harbour to be in that show as well. Going to be great. Sean and Campbell, of course, directing that. And Harbour, of course, have got The Pink Hammer beforehand, which is Peter Michael's show, which is going to be staged in April, I believe. That's a great show, really good show, wonderful New Zealand playing, got a great cast, and lovely to see Peter directing for Harbour Rep. And, of course, New Plymouth Little Theatre are in rehearsal at the moment for Call Girls, Cherie Stevenson and the lovely Stella McCullum directing that show. And of course, as you may have heard, I have the pleasure of taking up the midwinter slot for New Plymouth Little Theatre. I'm going to be directing The Vagina Monologues, which is really exciting. It's a play that's always been on my bucket list. I've always wanted to do it and had the opportunity when the rights have become available to secure those rights. And it's lovely to see that New Plymouth Little Theatre have let me have my way, as it were, and do a show like that. It's going to be a play that I think is going to get people to think, and in my opinion, that's what theatre should be about. It's going to be a play where it's going to challenge the actors. We're looking for a cast of about 8 people, just so you know. They are all separate monologues, so that's challenging in itself, but also a really exciting thing. And looking for a very diverse range of women who are comfortable enough to expose themselves, warts and all, as it were. There's a variety of about 15 different monologues off the top of my head, and they range from an 18-year-old to a woman in her 80s, right from when a woman loses her virginity to sex, to rape, incest, even a trans woman is in the cast. Living as a sexual woman with a disability is in the play. There's a load of things, and I'm looking at staging it a little bit differently to the way we've seen theatre, particularly amateur theatre here in Taranaki. So it's going to be staged a little bit differently, and that goes on stage in August, auditions in April. So if you are interested, reach out and I'll have a chat with you and let you know what's needed. It definitely is a play for those who aren't faint-hearted, and it's definitely a play for those who want to challenge themselves. Now, speaking of challenges, of course, the Shakespeare Festival is on in March. Really excited to see the lineup, and of course we've got this great new show that Taryn's doing called Bad Behaviour, and it plays here on RDFM. And Taryn's been catching up with different people. She's spoken to Dixon Lobb, she's spoken to Joe Stallard from the Stratford Shakespeare Theatre Trust, and she also has caught up with a variety of people from the Barden Party. Now, if you've never seen these guys, you need to, because they are phenomenal. Let's hear what Taryn had to say when she caught up with them about Heracles, which is one of the plays that they're bringing here to the Stratford Shakespeare Festival.
We're talking to the Barden Party. The Barden Party are, of course, well known in Shakespeare realms in Aotearoa. They are superstars, as far as I'm concerned. They have been to Taranaki. This will be their fourth time for the Stratford Shakespeare Festival, and they are what I would call the modern day answer to how to get Shakespeare into the minds of younger people. Right, so today over Zoom, we are talking to two members of the Barden Party. Enjoy.
Today we are talking to the lovely Caleb and Laura from my favourite theatre company in Aotearoa, the Barden Party. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Taryn, that was so lovely. I didn't know you were going to say that. Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, it is true. It is true. I remember the first time I saw you guys and I was blown away that something like this existed in Aotearoa and was so accessible and made Shakespeare for everybody, really. So creative, so filled with good storytelling and got the humour and just loved it. So I've been back every year when you've come to Taranaki and to the Stratford Shakespeare Festival, brought my three-year-old along, you know, brought the whānau. And I have a lot of time for the mahi and the art that you guys do. So welcome and thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Luckily for us, you are coming back again to the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in March. And you're bringing two shows this time.
Yes. Yep. Yes, we are.
Yeah. So Heracles was kind of Ollie Howlett, who is our musical director, it was his original baby. He has created all of the music. He's arranged everything. He's written all original songs for this show. So this show is our first fully original Barden Party. Well, we have other original Barden Parties, but it's our first fully original musical. And so I wrote the book. Ollie wrote all of the music, composed everything. And we've done, 7 performances in Nelson already?
7 performances, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And so what we've created so far is our version of the story of Heracles. It's a completely different part of the story than most people know, because most people know the 12 labors. We decided to focus on why he has to do the 12 labors.
Ooh,
and
cool.
Yes, and so it's not our traditional Shakespeare, because it's a Greek tale, but it is a very traditional Barden Party vibes.
And also we know that Shakespeare borrowed from the Greeks a lot, so it's kind of fitting.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's one of my big passions, is to take old stories that everyone knows or that people think they know and to dig deeper and to rediscover them and to find parts of them that we can bring out that maybe people aren't so familiar with. And that's what we've done with this. And Caleb plays Heracles.
What's it been like?
Oh, it's pretty remarkable to play a character that so many people think that they know but don't. I think he's such an interesting character that yeah, like if you actually delve into the story and you learn some, he's maybe not as great a guy as everyone seems to think that he is, which is a really interesting challenge because normally I just play characters that are pretty pretty likable. So it's nice to kind of get to. I mean, he's still likable, but it's nice to get to delve into some more interesting and darker themes, for sure. I was just gonna say on the writing front, if anyone's seen a Barden Party before, you'll recognize the language style and the way that we've written the show, because often for our Barden Parties, the way that we adapt it, Laura actually has to write some scenes herself, just because, and so she kind of has taken the role of William Shakespeare, so she's using that language as well to help. So it's even more similar, I think, to our traditional Shakespeare's as maybe people don't might not realize.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Now, what style are you doing it in? Because you have a different style with every show. What have you gone with for Heracles?
So for Heracles, the music is all it's basically an indie folk musical, but the style of the show, the aesthetic of the show is like a 1940s Hollywood style. Mm-hmm. So depending on the class of the character, you know, I play Hera, Queen of the Gods. Ollie is the singular musician and he plays every instrument and the entire score of the show live with a 4-track loop pedal.
Whoa.
Mm. Yes.
Wow.
And yeah, and Caleb plays Heracles, I play Hera, Queen of the Gods, and then we have an amazing actress from Hawke's Bay, Isabella Ahrens, who plays Megara, who is Heracles' wife. And then we also have a surprise character that we won't tell you about that, but it will be a surprise. But yeah, so it's a very small cast, Heracles. And the interesting thing about this one is that it is a self-contained story, but it is only the first half of a full epic musical that we will intend to tour on bigger and bigger stages throughout the world as the show develops. So this is the first half, but it is a self-contained story. It is a full narrative in the first half. You will not come away going, where is this going? It does end, but you will be left going, oh no, I can't wait to see the next bit.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm really excited for this. But you're doing that like kind of Netflix thing where, you know, you drop four episodes, yes. Then you leave us hanging.
Yes, exactly.
Like a season finale.
Yes, season finale. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. And what's the feedback been like so far when you've had those first few performances?
Well, I was quite surprised because I'm like really attached to our old shows. I was super nervous because it's fully original. It's my words. It's not Shakespeare's words. It's not the words of the Euripides play. It's fully my words and fully Ollie's music. And so I was like, oh, is this going to be jarring for our audiences? And the feedback we got in Nelson from several people was that it was their favorite Barden Party.
No way.
Yeah.
So wow. I was very shocked.
Yeah. That is awesome. So,
I mean, that's only seven audiences, though. So we'll see. I mean, Taranaki has seen almost all of our shows.
Yes,
so
we just missed the first one, I think. Hey.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll see what they think.
Exciting. Can we talk a little bit about the creative process? Like, how did you guys go about creating this? And how long did it take? And, like, did you ever think about stopping? Like, this is too much. I can't do it.
That is, it's a really great question. So Ollie came up with the idea, and he actually wrote the first song. The first song kind of just, you know, like musicians in a movie, the first song just kind of came to him. And he was like, this is the song, and I've written it for Caleb. And Caleb is Heracles. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now.
the universe has spoken.
Yes.
Yeah. And so then we were on tour with Macbeth, and he wrote that first song, and I was just kind of brainstorming, you know, like trying to think it over, and he would come up with a couple of ideas. But because we were so into Macbeth and because we went to Edinburgh and the tour stretched out so long in the end, I mean, we did 119 shows. We weren't expecting it to go that long. And we kind of had decided we weren't going to do a big tour this year. So I thought, you know, really I had a bit more time to write. But
Famous
last words. Yeah, but it does creep up on you. And I guess what had happened this time is this inspiration came to him. And I was charged with writing the script. But I kind of struggled at first because I went, why am I telling this story? Why me? Like, this isn't why at that point I was really struggling and going, why am I telling a story about this ultra masculine figure? Like, I don't connect with that. I don't connect with his narrative. I don't like, you know, the things that he does. And then as time went on and I did more and more and more and more research and I read and I listened to podcasts and like I just kept reading books about Greek myth and even the archaeology of, you know, the things that they've found in ancient Greece that depict these stories and the translations of these stories, I realized that there was so much missing from what we had been told before. And a lot of what was missing were the actual narratives of the women involved in these stories.
Yeah.
And so I went, okay, the story of Heracles is quite dark. There are moments that are quite dark. Let's focus on the relationships in his life that no one talks about, and how did he get to this point, and who is he, and dug a bit deeper. And I didn't like the way that Hera, Queen of the Gods, was represented in his story. I thought that it was very cliche.
Yeah.
And I was like, there has to be something deeper, because the only thing you ever get told about her is that she hates him because he's Zeus's illegitimate son. Yeah. And that she's super vengeful and she's just basically evil to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, there has to be more to this relationship. So that is the main focus of the show, is the relationship between those two characters. And yeah, so that's, and I really identified with that as well, because, you know, her being charged with being the goddess of marriage, but then her husband just makes a fool of her constantly. And so she feels very undermined and out of control, and she makes terrible decisions based on ego and hurt. And I think that's even like in the gods, that's something that we can all identify with, that we punish the people who the things that happen in our lives, we end up punishing the people that it's not their fault.
Yeah.
Because we can't actually hold other people to account.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, what's your take, Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly that. Like, it's one of those interesting things where everyone knows, everyone thinks that they know the story of this, but like, I think a really key part of it is even just like tying back to his name. Like, everyone knows him as Hercules, but actually Hercules doesn't make sense for what his title is, because the whole reason he's named that is he's originally named Archimedes, but then his parents, knowing of his of the illegitimate nature of Zeus and Hera, change his name to Heracles to appease her in that way, which is something that we touch on. But like, even just that in itself, his name is so tied to her, and their story is so important and so crucial to it. But that is lost because of the way that the Roman language just kind of changed the name as we know it. But it's been so interesting how just even that in itself is so tied to that. So you know that their story is so intertwined.
His name means the glory of Hera.
That's what Heracles translates to. Yeah.
That's amazing. Because I've always said Heracles because it's like Pericles, and everyone else says Hercules because of Disney. And I didn't know the story behind that and how it's said, and it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, so Heracles is the Greek and Hercules is the Roman. It's the same character, but to a very slight different names.
You guys have certainly learned a lot to create this, haven't you?
Helps to know those things, yeah.
It helps that Bella, who plays Megara, her mom is a classics teacher, specializing in Roman and Greek. And so anytime we had questions about pronunciation of specific Greek words or things that we wanted to reference in the show, like Greek traditions and ways that they honored the gods, we were able to call on her for advice. And then I was terrified when she came to the show in Nelson, because I was like, what if she doesn't like it? Or what if, you know, we haven't, we didn't include enough detail, or what if the details we included were wrong? And she just loved it so much. I think she came like 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, she came 4 times.
That's a big mark of respect from a classics teacher, because there's not many classics teachers these days, and they are like super, super intelligent and really onto it and purist.
And I was just so excited that she loved it so much, and she loved the fact that we had a balance of the story of Heracles and the voices that have not been included in that story. Yeah. We didn't silence the voice of Heracles. His voice is completely equal in that story, but we brought up the volume of other characters who have never had a voice in that story.
That's fantastic. And I think that's the kind of work that I want to see and many people I know want to see. What are the stories of the people who never got to have their voice heard properly? What are they telling us? Why do people behave that way? Where's it coming from? Why do the winners always write the history books? You know, that kind of stuff. It's a really important narrative and mahi that you're doing. And hopefully it helps other people look at situations in their own life differently, or maybe critique what the stories that get to make it to the news, and you start thinking, oh, hold on, how come just this person's voice is being centered?
Yeah, I mean, at its core, it's a very, very human story about relationships. Like, it while it's the under this branch of the gods and these characters that are so great and recognized, it is a simple human story about human relationships that is the most interesting and the most engaging for a lot of people, and that's what people take away from those stories. So I think that's why people will connect with this in particular.
I can't wait to see it. I really can't wait. But it's not the only show you're bringing.
No.
Yes, that's true. We're bringing another show that's completely different to Heracles. It's also completely different to our traditional Shakespeare Barden parties as well. We're not bringing a Shakespeare show to the Stratford Shakespeare Festival this year. Although Heracles falls into those classics, our other show, Cocktails, is a little bit different. Caleb, do you want to explain Cocktails?
Yes. Yeah, so Cocktails, how do we start? It kind of was built based on the premise of, if you could invite anyone to a dinner party throughout history, alive or dead, who would you invite? And that was kind of how the idea was brought about. And we decided early on that it was initially going to be a show about Edgar Allan Poe. And then we were trying to just, and that was always going to be Ollie. Ollie was very clearly that character. And if you see the show, you'll know why. And we were trying to decide on who I should play. And we kind of came to the decision that, because we, at the time, were very much a Shakespeare company, we were doing Shakespeare shows. We thought, well, why don't we bring William Shakespeare into this, and we can kind of tie it in that way. And it can be a bridge between, because it is a completely unique thing. It's the way that we built it, because when we started doing our shows, we designed them to be performed in people's backyards, and now we've done much bigger theaters. But it kind of, because of the nature of wanting to perform outside, it kind of cut out a kind of 6-month section of the year, or if you're in New Zealand, a 9-month section of the year where it rains a lot, and you can't really perform outside. So we thought, what if we created a smaller show that we could bring into people's living rooms? And that was the idea behind the show. So it began as a 2-person show where I play William Shakespeare and Ollie plays Edgar Allan Poe. And the concept is that William Shakespeare is hosting a dinner party, as he's done for millennia. He's very much, and it's, we have little name badges as well that people can pick up at the door that have famous artists and just famous people throughout history that you can choose to be when you enter the space. Hosting this dinner party for just everyone, and has brought Edgar Allan Poe to co-host with him. And it's his first time hosting this party. And Shakespeare's whole job and his whole plan is to make things light, keep things fun, make things really enjoyable, make jokes about and do bits of poetry and tell his Shakespeare stuff. He's very proud of that. And he wants to bring Edgar Allan Poe in, who is the happiest, strangest man you'll ever meet, maybe very different from what you would expect Edgar Allan Poe to be, but just this joyous guy who just is excited to talk about death. And it's the one thing that Shakespeare just doesn't want to be discussing at this party. He's like, no, we're going to keep things happy and light. And Edgar Allan Poe's like, no, wait, we'll talk about death. Because he's just so happy about it. It's very silly. It's very fun. And there's a lot of, and we also have a lot of, because it's the Barden Party, we have a lot of music in there as well. Yeah. We do our similar taking songs that people know and putting fun twists on them and stuff. More recently, because when we created the show, the kind of initial idea was that we were going to have improvisers come in and choose a character and join the show and play a third character that would surprise us on the day. But just the nature of how our shows have gone and how we've ended up doing things, we haven't been able to make that happen per se. Bridging the gap between that, we've recently introduced a third character into the show in that role, which is played by Laura, and it's very fun. It's very. Do you want to tell them about the third character? It just brings this new energy, which for us we really need. It's very exciting.
Whānau and friends, we're going to stop there for the week, and you are going to have to wait for next week to find out who that third character in Cocktails is. I promise you it is worth the wait. There's also other things in that second episode that you really want to hear about. So you're going to want to hear their stories about what it was like to be over performing Macbeth in Edinburgh for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, what kind of opportunities presented themselves to the Barden Party, and what kind of opportunities presented themselves to the Barden Party while they were over at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's a really good listen. It's packed with amazing theatre talk from some of the best artists in Aotearoa. So make sure you tune into that team. And for anyone who doesn't know the story about how the Barden Party started, I'm going to give you a quick little overview before next week's episode. So the Barden Party was created, as I understand it, by Laura, because when we went through the COVID lockdowns, a lot of the arts tours around the country simply stopped. Artists who were trying to make their living from touring and doing shows suddenly had no income and weren't able to do the thing that they loved. So when those new rules about, you know, you can have a gathering if it's outside and fewer than, I think it might have started with fewer than 50 people. You can have a gathering if it's outside. That's where the Barden Party started. Laura and a team of professional actors came together to create a show and to tour that show to people's backyards. So they started performing for their friends first, and then went a little bit wider, and then a little bit wider, and then hello, it was a sensation, and suddenly festivals are booking them, and they're doing tours around New Zealand. Then they did a 10-stop tour in the USA. Then they toured with their bluegrass Macbeth and hit 100 shows. The story of the Barden Party is amazing. If you want to know more, jump on their website, jump on their socials and have a read, because it is truly an inspiring story. I remember seeing them for the first time and not knowing this story and reading about it afterwards. And the show was phenomenal. And then reading that story afterwards about how they started, I was like, wow, if there's one silver lining to come out of the COVID pandemic, I'm glad it's that arts like the Barden Party exist. Anyway, that is enough banter from me today, guys. Enough of me talking your ear off. We'll be back next week with more storytelling from the Barden Party. In the meantime, get your tickets to the Stratford Shakespeare Festival. You do not want to miss it. And check out our social media for giveaways. We've got tickets to all the shows and we will be giving them away. Lovely to kōrero with you this week, team. See you next week. Mā te wā, Shakespeare lovers.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.